Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
I saw Gary jerking in first class underneath the blanket on his flight. Not afraid to be a creep, took out his iPad to have a peek. Had a couple runaways and some dude going balls deep. No saw Gary and his pod, even though his folks were on the flight. What a shock it would have been if Gary's mom had seen Gary whacking on his first class flight.
Chris Rubio and Chris Saylor in studio. They have academies. Chris Saylor kicking and Rubio long snapping. And something, I don't know, I don't know if it became my thing, long snapping. Who the fuck knew? let's see, Rubio. We'll just go by Rubio and Saylor, yes?
Sounds good to us.
Rubio, long snapper, UCLA, 95 through 97. Never made it to the show. Too banged up in college?
Had a little bit of a back injury where kind of all hell broke loose and decided I was going to become a teacher. Ended up being a sixth grade history teacher out in Covina, California, about probably 25 miles east of here. Really enjoyed it until I got a call from some guy that I snapped to in college named Chris Saylor, and all hell broke loose from there.
Saylor, I was thinking about how big an impact the Rams were playing, KC or whatever, and their punter a couple of weeks ago. I think he just boomed one, and the guy literally got backed in the end zone and took it out. I think it was 80 yards in the air. It backed up. And you think, wow, at this time, that's a game changer. But where's the coffin corner? It drives me nuts when these guys – okay. When you're like, oh, are you going to go for it on fourth? Are we going to punt it? Are we going to try a super long – oh, send in the punt team. And the guy punts it, and it lands in the end zone. It doesn't even touch down on the seven-yard line. It lands in the end zone. That drives me nuts. And then I scream, what happened to the coffin corner? What happened to the coffin corner?
You know, it's the Australians. When they came in, they took over, and they introduced what's called the drop punt. And I think every team's coach in the league fell in love with it. These big, 6'6" Australian guys that came in and had an opportunity to, put the ball up in the air 5 seconds plus. And coaches figured that if the ball gets up that high, get them inside the 10 as opposed to going coffin corner, might probably add about 7-8 yards to our overall scrimmage, line of scrimmage per game with the Australian punters.
It seems like I don't know what the record is. 63 on a field goal now? 64?
What is the record? 63? Something like that?
63 or 64.
It's had a 63 for a very long time. I believe a bunch of guys have it now. I think it's about four or five guys that have hit from 63.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I think Prater hit from deeper. I think Prater hit from deeper a few years ago.
Can I say this? I've always thought about this, and I know it flies in the face of football and everything, but if I had Janikowski on my team, especially like when I was a Raider, and we're just having bad seasons like there were the last few with Janikowski on the team. Every time the half was running out, we're somewhere around the 50, I just take a couple of knees and bring Janikowski out. Like, we're down by 21 anyway. Let's see if we can get this guy, Seabass, the record. I mean, he's, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a rapist. You know, it's awesome. He had his trials and tribulations in the college years.
He's grown up a lot.
Yeah, he's well known in the league for sure for many things, that's for sure.
That's a great statement.
Feels like it'd be one thing, kicking.
Kicking ass and taking names. So if you have a not my son, because he's there's no more tackle football in the cards for anyone. And it's one of these be careful what you wish for things, because all anyone ever, they never understand unintended consequences. Like, hey, well, less head trauma. How could that be a bad thing? Having a nation filled with pussies is not going to be a great thing. You'll be begging for a little head trauma.
Little concussion.
Little concussion, yeah. We're going to have a whole big batch of fucking pussies that are going to be 20 years old because they never played football.
Right.
And they certainly didn't do it. Look, either do the military or you do football or you become a full-fledged puss. That's basically my experience in life, and that's where we're heading. Is football, do you think it's, you know, I mean, it's not going to go away, but is it getting less popular? No one in my neighborhood will let their boys play tackle football. I will, but my boy doesn't. Everyone's scared of tackle football.
I mean, it's definitely adjusting. I mean, even with the, we were just watching a game last week with it on kickoffs. I saw a guy do a fair catch, and I didn't even know you could do that because I don't pay attention to the kicks. I just watch the snaps.
Sure.
And the guy did a fair catch like on the 15, and I didn't even know you could do that. And Saylor said, yeah, it's a new rule, so you don't, you know, it's eliminating the kickoff, so the guy just gets the ball automatically at the 25.
Yeah, they're doing that, and then you hear a lot about, you know, getting rid of the punt because it's no longer an effective play because people don't want to take the risk of getting hit. But within, I think within the circle of actual football players, no one wants to see any of that go. They love the contact. They love the old school game. I think it's more the parents that are out there that have their sons have never played football before. We hear more of that. But for the most part, those in the industry really like
special teams could be such a momentum changer, especially with a kickoff or a punt. You know,
who's making the most? Who's the highest paid punter in the league? Who's the highest paid kicker? Are long snappers getting paid, or are they?
Well, every year you have to make the league minimum.
Well, obviously you don't.
And then you've got a couple like Malbach from the Lions, JP from the Cowboys. I mean, these guys have been around for over a dozen years, and they're fantastic. But that's kind of the problem is that you have to take the league minimum. So when you keep getting better and better and older, you still have to take it. So NFL owners will start to say, you know what, I'm going to take Adam. He's a free agent. He's a rookie. And I'll pay you $380 instead of paying this guy $1.2 because you're both pretty much the same.
Right. What is the league minimum about? Is it about
$380?
I might have got up a bit from there. But, yeah, I mean, I think Vinatieri was the first guy to ever get paid $1 million when he was going through, obviously, a stretch of being a clutch for the Patriots. Then he always went to the Colts, got paid a lot. But I think now there's guys getting paid over $2-3 million a year, the very best of the best that are out there.
The kickers?
Yeah, I think Tucker's up there.
Zerline and Tucker, I'd imagine, are up there.
Yeah, I think they're very close to that range. 2-3, I think they're in that range.
I have some game footage for us to go over. First, I'll tell you this half of the show brought to you by MedMen. Go to MedMen.com and Tommy John as well, TommyJohn.com/M. LifeLock, LifeLock.com, and Geico, Geico.com. I think I'm going to be doing some long snapping for you guys later on. I laugh. I never really developed a technique. There's a technique where the guys sort of hold the ball and twist it,
which is sort of
weird to me because I just hold it. I would just hold it like I'm throwing a pass between my legs.
That's exactly what you should do. You pretend you're an upside down quarterback going the wrong way.
That's
the easiest way to explain it.
There's a sweet spot.
But there was a move, and I don't know if they're doing it so much anymore, where they'd lift it up and sort of twist it and throw it back.
Kind of. You just basically, the best long snap you can ever do is when you throw your middle fingers back and flip off the punter. Because that's you falling through, because you're basically doing this with both hands.
I was explained when I went out and tried out a kicker for the Avengers, I guess the LA Avengers, like Arena League football. The guy invited me to snap for the team in a game, and I was flattered by, but I said, do you guys have the no can rule? And they said, no. And I said, they have it in high school, college, and the NFL. Why not just do the no can rule? And they're like, I don't know.
It makes it special.
Makes it special. So
best
I was like,
rule out there.
Because you're pretty vulnerable on a punt. You got your head between your legs.
Right. Is that no attacking the long snapper?
Yeah,
is that what that means?
You can't blow up the long snapper.
Yeah. Rubio used to get lit up at UCLA.
Well,
if you go back
my
to his
first
video.
2 years, it was they didn't have that rule. So they would just line up the guy right above you. And for the first two times, they would just knock the hell out of you as much as possible because they were trying to scare you for the rest of the game. So if you did the first two perfect, they kind of moved over because it was a waste of a person trying to knock me out.
Right.
But there were several games where I would get just driven back to Saylor all the way like 15 yards.
He'd be on my feet as I was running
and he would
out
pick me
cover.
Up and say, really, again? And like, hey.
Well, so, Gina, what you do is if you take the biggest guy on the other team and you line him up in front of the long snapper is not normally the biggest lineman. Right. He's a little more skilled as a long snapper. He's got his head between his legs, and you drive him into the ground. Then the next time that guy goes out to punt, he looks up, he sees the 300-pound guy in front of him, and he thinks, I got to hurry up and snap the ball and pop up and protect myself.
Right.
That ball you skip, that skips back to the punter. That one never works out, and that's what they want. So somebody eliminated the can
seems like a good idea
rule.
Hurting the guy who's upside down.
Yeah, exactly. And looking the wrong way.
Right.
Yeah, there's. I'll show you some of me in high school getting canned. What I did, what I would do. Well, first, we just snap out of the shotgun in high school. And I played guard on offense and linebacker on defense. But when it came time to do the shotgun, I would just move on over one slot and do it. I'll show you some old footage on that thing. You guys see it at AdamCarolla.com, but you'll hear me talking. No. What? Huh? Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, high school.
I used to snap the ball in high school. Well, my dad was a long snapper and his father before him. And then my great-grandfather Giovanni from the old country used to do the long snapping.
Got a left-handed quarterback.
Yeah, Mario Menefee was his name. So then I went out to the Avengers and tried out, but I was just screwing around with the guy filming a TV show, and he said, I said, let me give you a shotgun snap, and I'll show you that. The shotgun snap bothers me because too many guys are floating the ball back there, letting the defenders get a half a step closer while the ball's sort of fluttering in the air. I'll show you the proper way to do it. Go ahead, Max Spada.
Coach? Yeah. Because what I'll do, here's what I'll do. Your right hand, I'll put it up here.
Okay, already ready to throw.
I'll put it right here. Which way do you like the laces lined up?
I would like the laces towards my...
That guy's a football pointer. Coach, isn't he?
Towards your pointer?
Yeah.
All right, you so bring the laces about here.
To the right hand
upper
side.
Upper right. All right.
About 3 o'clock.
Set, go.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Boy, that was nice.
It's not bad at all.
That guy offered me a job. It's a
some
snapper.
Heat on it there. Yeah, it's some heat on it.
Yeah, but I think guys are scared to do that because if you screw it up, it's going 20 yards the wrong direction. Who do you guys, and then later on I snap for a field goal and Rich Eisen kicked me in the ass with the ball. Do you have that?
Not very sportsman.
This is, this is Marshall Faulk holding and me snapping and then Rich Eisen kicking me in the back of the ass. All right.
This is the first time at any level Marshall Faulk has been a holder.
Yeah.
PAT.
I know.
At any level. When they first handed him a football, like, Marshall, you're not holding.
Yeah, you're running.
Yeah, pick up the ball and go.
Yeah. Who are you guys seeing? Like, who's the average candidate at your academy?
For the long snappers, it's, you know, basically it starts with kids that just want to get a spot on the team. They want to get, you know, they're not too big. They're not overly large. So they're not going to be a lineman. They're not super, you know, athletic. They're not going to be a wide receiver, a linebacker. It's kind of those tweeners. They're looking for a spot on the bus. They just kind of want to learn this craft because the way I explain it, I'm just teaching them to be a professional free throw shooter. Just got to make, you do this skill very, very well. I don't care if you make a three-pointer, a dunk, it, layup. Just, we're going to do free throws. So that you got to just work on your form. And so those kids, they get this and they start to notice, okay, I'm not too big. I'm not too athletic, but I can do this and I can do it well. And then boom, college is paid for.
Yeah, and they're coming in young. I mean, Rubio have guys out there that are, you know, fifth, sixth graders. Kicking, because they need to be a little bit stronger. We're starting generally in 7th, 8th graders. But our majority of kids we see are at the high school level. We're going to see a bunch of 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders.
I'm working just the opposite angle with my son, which worked like a charm, which is in his flag football league where the coaches stand in the middle of the field. So it's not really football. You don't want to snap because you either want to play the quarterback or you want to be a receiver in flag football. You don't want to snap the ball. That means you just stand there. So all little Sonny Corolla has to do is sail three over the head, and the coach pretty soon goes, well, you're slow and you can't catch, but I don't want you doing this job. Go out and run a pattern. It's a good way. Aww. It's the kid version of, you know, you complain about your back all the time. No one will ever ask you to help them move. So that's essentially the plan.
I can't do the dishes correctly, so
right.
You better possession. Not touch
you're so much better at it.
Yeah.
For a Wes Welker type, possession receiver.
So I used to do this thing in high school that I don't think they let you do it anymore. And I don't know, back in the day, the up guy in the punt formation would call the signals.
Yeah.
My favorite snapping move, by the way, and I think the Rams did this the other day, is when the long snapper snaps it to the up man or snaps it to the other guy, like snaps it to a different guy. You go like, whoa, he's all lined up, and then all of a sudden, at an angle, hits the guy, and the guy throws a pass or makes a run or whatever it is. But I love it with if there's no tells, you know what I mean? The ball just goes off at an angle. But have the up guy would do the signals, you know, down, sit, you know, into the thing. Then at some point it gave way to the punters just kind of moving their hands, except for everyone on the defense could see that, and everyone on the offense couldn't see it. How does like a professional team do the punt now? They do signals? They do calls?
Well, a lot of times if it's too loud, you can't hear a signal. That's the issue. So a lot of times if the up back, the personal protector comes up, it'll usually at UCLA, what we used to do was blue 10, Lucy, or Ricky. I blocked left or right. It was very confusing. No one could ever figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then they would say set. And any time after set, I was allowed to snap the ball.
Uh-huh.
So it was one of those things that just anytime you wanted.
So I'll show you one last grainy black and white thing where I would tell the up man if it was fourth and less than five, I'd go, let's draw him off sides. Mm-hmm. And I'd just tell the up man how to do his cadence, and then I'd pop my head up. And because they didn't have a no-can rule, there was a guy trying to kill me. He would can me. I'll show it to you. I think it's in the description here.
Let me tell you what used to get us the first down, Coach. I tell the up man, we're going on three. Light on one, hard on two.
Got to give the hard can.
We'll snap it on three. Here's what I do.
Me getting canned. which was... He'd just go down, sit, hut one, hut two, and I'd pop my head up, and the guy would can me, and the rest would go, all right, 5 yards, like offsides, and the guy would be going, he moved. They go, just move the chains. They wouldn't call offsides on the guy who was snapping the ball. Now they kind of.
Well, yeah, now they're getting so picky with it where the guy for the Cowboys a couple weeks ago got it for just moving his hands on the ball.
That was a weird one.
That was a stupid call. And they all move it. It's one of those things that you could call every single time if you wanted to. And, I mean, especially if you just look at the center on the line, he moves it all over the place. Mm. So it's one of those where that was just a bad call, in my opinion. I mean, because you could call it every play.
But my movie premise where the mob gets hold of the long snapper, the aging long snapper who's getting the league minimum.
He's been there for 12 years. And the young guy's on the rookie contract.
And he's paying, and they pay him millions of dollars just to screw all you'd need to do in the Super Bowl. One good one over the punter's head and one bad snap. Not even that bad. Just skip it a little low, whatever, for a field goal. We could shave 10 points off this game. Imagine. And you could never prove it. You could never prove it, and they would never pull that guy. They wouldn't pull him if he snapped one bad punt in first half. They wouldn't pull him. They don't have anybody to put in there. And he could also do one, and you could never say, "Oh, come on, that guy's in the pocket of the mob." There's no such thing. You'd never able to prove it. You could shave a touchdown off of that. What do you think of that idea?
I'm 100% in.
That should be part of the pitch for the parents when they bring the kids into camp, which is. Yes, it will be the league minimum forever, but at some point...
The mob will come get you.
There Cosa Nostra. Will come that, and there'll be a big, fat payday. Now, his young daughter may be abducted. That's a B-line of this. Yeah. That's a B-plot of the story.
Territory. To these murderers.
Right, but...
But...
M's the breaks.
You kind of wonder, has it ever... everyone goes like, oh, impossible. What is so impossible about that scenario? About getting that guy who basically... sitting at the league minimum watching these big bonus babies come into the league and bust and have guaranteed contracts, and they've seen them come and go with like a $10 million payday.
Didn't
like a
that
big payday.
Sort of happened. Not exactly, but your basic construct, that happened, I think, with like 2002-ish, and it was the Niners against the Giants in the playoffs, and the Giants long snapper had been retired. He was he was like out for the first 10 games of the year. They brought him back when their guy got hurt, and he ended up a bad snap for the game-winning field goal.
Yeah, he's got a name that you guys would immediately know when locks him on it, looks it up.
It was a game-changing play. It was the would have won the game.
Well, now you got to follow the money.
Yeah.
Go back, 30 for 30.
Yeah, he was a like 15-year veteran of the league, and
retired.
People retired, and people felt bad. Even, I think...
It was pretty tragic, actually.
There was also one with John Robinson, when the Rams went to the Super Bowl in 79, and like their long snapper got hurt or something, he went and got his long snapper from college, North like from out of retirement to snap in that game, wow. or some story of that. Gina, I'm sure that's a story that you kick around the holidays almost every year at the grad household,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's literally, it was our bedtime story every night.
Here she goes with John Robinson again.
Yeah. What was that? The Giants player was like...
Wasn't it Trey Junkin?
Trey Junkin, yes. It was Trey Junkin.
Oh, wow.
Trey Junkin.
White guy.
Trey, yeah. Long
I'm telling you.
No. Oh.
Yeah, Trey Junkin had retired that brought him back, and it was a crucial, like, tough snap on a field goal.
Unfortunate, because he was literally perfect throughout his entire career.
He was like a legendary snapper.
Yeah, he was absolutely perfect, and then his last snap was, you know, not the best.
Maybe that was your movie.
Yeah, Trey got paid.
Maybe that was the one.
I just like the part where the SUV pulls up in front of Trey Junkin's house, and they walk up, and they go, "We need you back," and he goes, "You know I retired." And he goes, "Why? Because you're the best."
Why not call Stepnoski?
Yeah. All right, let me tell you about the best. MedMen. Holidays are here. Take care of everyone on your list with MedMen. Celebrating the first legalization-friendly holiday season in approved states with awesome deals. Look for stocking stuffers. They have a section of stocking stuffers over there. Fun gifts for $20 or less and exclusive bundles from the premium brands. Not sure what to buy? Well, you can't go wrong with the MedMen gift card. How about that? Now available in all stores, and you can visit them. They have 14 locations in California. You go to, and they have one in Vegas as well. New one opened up on the Strip on Paradise Road in Harmon. Go to MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you at MedMen.com. Check out one of their 14 California stores or the one in Vegas at MedMen.com. Right, Dawson?
Start a new holiday tradition this year with MedMen. And don't forget to use code Adam Carolla at checkout to get $10 off your purchase. Be a holiday hero this year with MedMen. Limit one per customer. Terms and conditions apply. Keep out of reach of children. For use only by adults 21 years of age and older.
Trey Junkin. He botched 5 snaps in a 19-season career.
That's wild.
That's less than 1 per season.
Well, less. Well,
Did that. Real time.
That's good.
He was 41 at the time. They picked him back up, and that was a big game, and I do remember that one well.
Yeah, he says he still thinks about it every day, jolts him out of sleep. For 19 years,
Jesus.
I tried to be invisible that's in my brutal. Profession, and...
Laces out moment.
See, that's why being a long snapper is so difficult. You can have 9 great snaps in a game. You do one and you're fired. A quarterback has 9 touchdowns and 1 interception. He's an All-American.
Right. Yeah. I do think there's an interesting mental construct to somebody who says, I would like to put myself in this sort of position, which is, you do your job flawlessly, and there shall be zero praise for you and the league minimum. You screw up once, Bald Brian's going to remember Trey Junkin's name forever. That's basically Trey Junkin's 19 years of averaging less than a third of a muff snap. 19 years of that, he is remembered for screwing up this playoff game in 03. What kind of wiring does one have? And don't get me wrong, I like it. Like, I like somebody who says, yeah, I'll take that job. I don't know why, but it says it shows a strong wiring. But what kind of wiring does a young fella have to have for that?
Yeah, I think as a kicker, for all the guys we train, the ones that have a bit of a screw loose are usually the best kickers out there. The mentality that they don't really care, a little bit off, you know, when it comes to those sorts of opportunities. Those tend to be our best players.
The grammatics.
It's not exactly.
I would say that along with the guys that they're not overly intelligent because then they don't have the ability to overthink.
Yes.
The guys that are just kind of like, hey, what's going on? Oh, yeah, there is a lot of people here. Oh, you want me to snap it that fast? Okay.
Right. You don't have a bunch of Jewish intellectuals way up in their head.
Yeah, definitely not the overthinkers. Yeah.
No, I mean, look, when you're hitting the beach at Omaha Beach over there, D-Day, you don't want a bunch of ponderers on that Higgins craft. You want a bunch of young, dumb 19-year-olds that are just going to plow into those German machine gun nests. Like, you don't want to be up in your head for that job.
Absolutely not.
And this is sort of that. I remember once in terms of ruining a game, we never won any games, but we were winning this one game, this one time when I was in high school, and it was like sort of raining, kind of drizzling, And our high school was bad. It had like a bad mud. The whole middle section of the field was just kind of mud. And then the lights were kind of weak. Like so many of my bulbs have been busted out. It was kind of dark. And in the end zone, when you got down to the end zone, it would start getting actually like if you were playing pickup ball, you'd be like, all right, we got to go in now. Like it's about that time. It's like, all right, one more play. You know, it's getting, that's what it would feel like at the end of the end zone.
People pull up in their cars, put the high beams on.
We were, we were winning 6-0 or something. And there's almost no time left in the game. And I got called for holding. When we had the ball, offensive line, I got called for holding, and it was a chicken shit call. So I started yelling at the ref, like, oh, come on, this is bullshit. And he's like, all right, now that's a technical, and he threw another flag. So we got like 10 yards for holding, or maybe 15, I can't remember what it was, but certainly 15 for the unsportsmanlike. And the next thing you know, our punter was just standing at the back of our end zone, and we're like, ball was like on the 4-yard line. I've got us moved from like the 30-yard line back to the 4-yard line. There's 25 seconds left in the game. It's now raining, and I'm like looking through my legs at the end of this game, and I'm covered with water and mud and everything, and it's dark, and I'm going, I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to fuck up this snap and just finish this whole trifecta. Like, I got us moved all the way back here. Now I'm going to fuck this snap up, and I'm going to lose. I'm going to, like, single-handedly lose the game.
You talk about the Corolla game?
For ourselves. Yeah, that's what it would have been called. Fortunately, I snapped it back to him okay. He punted the ball, and probably our only win of the entire season. How was UCLA when you guys were at UCLA?
We were ups and downs. We ended my senior year. His junior year, we were number 5 in the country. Lost to a guy named Peyton Manning, and then lost to Ryan Leaf up at WSU, and that was. Then we ran the table, went 10-2.
And the next year, when he left and I came in, we won the next 10. So we actually had won 20 in a row between 97 and 98.
Well, the year they lost to Miami.
Yeah,
I went to USC at that time, and of course, you know, rivalry and everything. That was a legitimately great UCLA team in 97, 98. They were really, really good. Cade McNown?
Yeah, Cade was my roommate at the time. Yeah.
Really good team.
We were a hell of a team for sure.
JJ Stokes was
there. Yeah, he was more my time. Yeah.
All right, the academies. Here we go. Chris Saylor kicking and Rubio long snapping. And you can go to the website and check out dates. And you guys move around?
Yeah, we just got back from the Midwest. Week before that, we were in Georgia. 2 weeks before that, Texas.
Wow.
We've been to California, Seattle. Where else have we been? New Jersey, Arizona. We move around. Georgia, North Carolina.
Yeah. Why don't you guys get out and set up out there? We'll do some news, and then I'll come out, and I think I'll do a little long snapping for you. I think
that's our
plan. And you guys can go to the website, chrissaylorkicking.com and rubiolongsnapping.com. All right, you guys set up, and I'll see if this these old 54-year-old bones can still push a ball between my legs. All right, Gina Grad, do we got some news?
Sure do.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So a few years ago, Sesame Street had introduced a character whose father was in prison, and that was a pretty big deal. Now they have a new little addition to Sesame Street, a little hot pink Muppet. USA Today reports that Lily, she's
transgender.
Pink. It's coming. She has red hair, and she is the first character on Sesame Street to be homeless. Oh. She was first introduced to the series in 2011.
Oscar the Grouch.
That's the joke going around.
Sure.
Where she explained that her family was experiencing food insecurity.
Everyone's morbidly obese.
Cookie Monster shoveling cookies.
We can't be morbidly obese. Chicks can't be coming in at 5'4", 170, mm-hmm. and have food insecurities. We can't live in these same times, fucksticks. Yeah. Please, make one fucking decree or another, but not both, you assholes.
Well, in new online clips, the 7-year-old explains that she's staying with friends on Sesame Street because her family lost their home. The storyline was created as a new initiative.
Because mom and dad are junkies. They didn't lose their home. They're fucking junkies. That's why they're on the fucking street, you idiots.
They would like to alleviate the stigma around homelessness.
Oh, good. So we can all be homeless. When you alleviate the stigma... Max Pata.
No.
We alleviated the stigma of fucking traveling with your pets, everybody. Guess what we got? A big shit storm 30,000 feet in the sky.
Service turkeys.
Max Zapata was out to eat, and we've alleviated the stigma of people keeping their fucking shoes on in a fucking restaurant, and now everyone's barefoot in it in restaurants. Mm. We don't want to alleviate stigma, everybody. Alleviating stigma means more of the behavior, not less, you fucking retards.
Yeah, this is a couple that sat next to me at the tables, and they both slipped off their shoes.
And they're sitting cross-legged on the booth.
Oh, Jesus. 25 or 6 to 4.
Well done.
That was good. All right, well, let's keep the anger train going.
Here's I'm fucking A. Oh. Sorry. We don't want to alleviate stigma. Alleviating stigma means more of whatever you are alleviating stigma from. Hey, how about this, Sesame Street? I'd like to alleviate the stigma of smoking. So what is that going to be? Less smoking? We made a lot of bad juju about smoking. Mm-hmm. And now people literally, like I've said, you guys have all been there and done that. Dawson, you feel this pain. You go outside of a club or a restaurant or something, you'll see a fucking guy like crouching by a dumpster along the fucking dog run. And it's just like, you know, it's a long meal, like just looking over his shoulder, like, I hope I don't even see me. I don't want to get called out. Whatever. Yeah. That's what we created. It stops it.
Yeah.
It's no longer smoking at the booth. It's no longer smoking on the plane. It's no longer standing in front of the restaurant talking to TMZ and smokes. Like, go around the corner and hide.
Yep.
There's a stigma against child pornography. That's probably a good thing.
Yes.
Stigmas work.
Yes. Yes. Stigmas are good.
Here's a clip of Little Lily talking to Sophia and Elmo about why.
Hold on. All right. Play it.
Why the color purple makes her so sad.
Yeah. Because it's a fucking Prince song.
You know, Lily, sometimes when Elmo talks about his feelings, it makes Elmo feel better.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. We better hope there's never a war.
Well, it's just that, my bedroom is purple, and purple's my favorite color, and it reminds me of my bedroom. And, we don't have our own apartment anymore, and...
Yeah,
we've been staying in all different kinds of places.
Yes, my parents are fucking junkies.
Lily, no matter where you are, always remember. The thing about home is, home is more than a house or an apartment.
Let me write this shit down.
Home is really where the love is. That's where you and your parents are staying with me.
Brought to you by the letter Q.
And we're going to make sure that no matter what, there's always lots of love.
This bitch should get out to one of those freeway overpasses over there.
That's right.
In Compton and explain to those people, hey, don't sweat it.
No.
It's where the love is. Mm-hmm. This visqueen you got strung over this cactus here with the shopping cart holding up the other side. Yo, you just shit into a bucket? Absolutely. This is where the love is. Everybody.
She was, that's on fire. That's love.
Lily was the same one in that other one from a few years ago with the kid whose dad was in prison. She was like, you know, whatever the little Muppet's name was. It's okay, Bobby. My dad's in prison, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the puppets, yeah, the humans. No, Brian.
Rich man, poor man, the big house.
Oh, wow.
It's either the big house or it's the prison.
A big house.
Or it's a big house. But, your dad's in the big house. That's rich man, poor man. Yeah, that either means you're in the pool cabana and you're living out there, or your dad's fucking in the joint.
You're in Gen Pop.
Right. Okay. Couple things that people need to understand. Jesus fucking Christ. Can we not bum the fuck out of everybody who's watching everything all the time? Can a kid be a goddamn kid anymore and not have to hear about the indigenous population and global warming and homeless fucking crisis and the gender inequality? Just fucking let them be kids until they're fucking 11 and then douse them in this with your bucket of retardation. So listen. I was a kid.
What are you talking about?
And I would watch TV. And I would watch, like, Family Affair. They lived in a penthouse in Manhattan. And then I would watch Sanford and Son. And they lived in a junkyard in Compton. And then I'd watch the Brady Bunch. And I'd go, oh, those guys, that's a cool place to live. And then you'd see Good Times, where they live in, like, a tenement
Cabrini
slum
Green.
Or whatever. Yeah, and as a kid, I could completely decipher where I lived, where they lived, where the Brady Bunch lived, and I could watch it and go, our house sucks, but at least it's a house.
Mm-hmm.
The Sanford and Son house is a house, but it's in a junkyard. Seems like cool stuff. Oh, then there's the Brady Bunch house. Oh, that's got a whole second level. Floor and a garage they can pull in with an automatic door, and they had a housekeeper named Alice. I understood all of it. I didn't need to see other versions of me flopping around a piece of shit in North Hollywood that we got to squat in with a mom in a bedroom yelling freak out. I understood.
It's okay, Adam. I live on a service porch, too.
Yeah. Also, it would have done young Adam no good to see a bunch of people who lived in squalor like he lived, because that would just make me think, oh, I guess this is it.
Yeah.
I guess this is where
as
we go.
As far as we go.
I would watch The Love Boat, and I would watch The Brady Bunch, and I would. I'd go, oh, look at that. Look at Heart to Heart. Jesus Christ.
There's a way out.
There's a way out.
Corolla Cruise next October.
Yes.
Thank you. That's all these fucking pandering fucking virtue signaling heroes. Knock it the fuck off. You're going to ruin these kids. They're already done. By the way, good luck employing one of these fucks in 10 years, everybody. They have no idea what we're doing to these kids. Fuck you, Sesame Street. I want my money back.
From Sesame Street?
Yes.
From the public television radio? So here's
just
something.
Fucking teach them vowels. Right. Would you please?
Nice.
Don't have good fucking vibes. Have weird weird women.
Just the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Have the count count something down, would you? For the love of fuck. Sorry.
All right, well, one more story.
This might keep you angry, but at least it's about food. A Michigan-based restaurant chain is changing the name of one of its most popular items because some say it's offensive to those who struggle with addiction. Can you guess what the food item
is? Oh, yeah. I know what it is. It's the German chocoholic cake.
That's a great guess. It's not, but it's a great guess.
It's like crack fries.
There he goes.
Is that what it is?
Here's Mark Gray. I'll let him explain it. CEO of Barfly Ventures, Hopcat's parent company. It's a restaurant called Hopcat. They're all over Michigan. Explaining the changes in a YouTube video.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Mark Gray, CEO of Barfly Ventures, parent company of Hopcat. Today I'm announcing plans to change the name of Hopcat's crack fries. It will still be the same beer battered seasoned recipe, just with a new name. While the name Crack Fries was intended to be tongue-in-cheek, drug addiction is not a joke.
I find this problematic. He needs to be fired.
They're called opioid sticks.
Max Pat, keep a running list of everything I find problematic so we can have everyone fucking fired. Okay? Because I find this problematic.
Crack fries.
No, you did it, Brian.
Wow, that was shocking.
So the menus, the signage.
Did you know there was crack?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely amazing.
The posters, everything's being redesigned. The name's going to be changed in January. Meanwhile, crack fries are what Hopcat's known for, I guess. When it opens a restaurant, Hopcat has a tradition of offering its first customers free crack fries for a year. Food Network named it the 10
guys
best.
Itching their necks like some crack fries?
I just got to have one. 10 best fries in the country. Now I want some crack fries.
I'm with you. I'm a little older school in the fry department. I don't like it when there's a lot of bells and whistles around the fries.
Yeah.
I feel like you do the best fry.
French fried potato.
You can do. Don't start giving me wedges.
I was going to say.
Don't start sprinkling a ton of like Parmesan and garlic and shit on there. Just give me a good solid fry.
The garlic fries.
You know, I don't like
I'm not saying it's bad. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying if I'm going to sit down for like a burger and fries, I want fries.
You know what else? You know what I really don't like on French fries? And I don't know if it's an Emperor's New Clothes thing, but when they add this word to it, you add $10, first of all. And everybody wants to order it. And I don't like the taste of it. Truffle. Truffle fries, truffle mac and cheese. I don't need it.
It's just truffle oil.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, truffle is the, I don't want to say nature, but it's the botanical or the growing version. Truffle is what bacon is to the meat department. Mm-hmm. Truffle is to the veggie department, which is we can cheat by simply adding this to everything.
Truffle potatoes.
Because everything truffle is better, but it's still... It's kind of, again, it's like putting bacon on everything. Well, it's like, do you love bacon? Yes, I love bacon. Well, we'll just make good potato salad. Well, we'll just put bacon on it. It's like, no, just make kick-ass potato salad or mac and cheese, and then we don't need to add all that to it. Yep. I think truffle is cheating, and I think bacon is cheating.
Well said.
Mm-hmm.
So Google, of course, we're at the time of the year where all the year in review stuff in the top this and the top 50 and the top 10.
What about 2018's women who'd be most disgusted to have sex with Adam Carolla? That's on everyone's list.
Right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Google has released its annual list of top search words.
Maybe I should be photographed with Idris Elba.
Oh, that'd be something.
with the sexiest man.
So many vaginas.
Well,
would be
there
confused.
Needs to be a counterpoint.
Balance it out a little bit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
Just to sort of go, okay, here's everyone. Here's a guy everyone wants to fuck, right? Look at this chap to his left. How about him? See what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What's the list?
So this is Google's list of the most top search terms of the year.
Search term.
Yes. And this took place over all of 2018. The most searched thing on Google.
I find this list problematic, but go ahead.
Oh, you're going to find this very problematic.
People searching for porn?
Nope. Mm. Worse.
Worse?
Most search for you.
Oh, okay.
Most search term all year 2018, World Cup.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
yuck.
After the worldwide soccer tournament, the second most searched term or event actually was Hurricane Florence. That devastated the Carolinas. Meghan Markle, Demi Lovato, Sylvester Stallone were the top three most searched people. Black Panther, Deadpool 2, and Venom, the most popular movie searches. And more people wanted to learn how to vote and how to register to vote than any other term. And Roseanne was the most searched TV show, and Bohemian Rhapsody was the most searched song.
Mm.
Which makes sense since that got the award for the most globally downloaded song in the world.
Google has a way, I'm sure. How would they delineate between Bohemian Rhapsody the song, Bohemian Rhapsody the movie?
That's a good question. It says Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. So I imagine people are quite intrigued by the song again.
I find that question problematic.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Problematic. Fuck everyone who said that insincerity. Let me tell you about Tommy John. Not problematic. I'm wearing mine right now. Treat yourself and everyone on your list to mind-blowing comfort. Tommy John, most comfortable underwear on the planet. Keeps men neat and nestled and women panty line and wedgie-free. No wedgie guaranteed. Comfortable stay-put waistbands. And luxurious soft fabrics designed to move with you. No bunching and no rolling up, everyone. They have a limited edition holiday gifts and daily deals. There's something for everyone on your list. I can say this without any hyperbole. You will never go back to whatever old underwear you were wearing before Tommy John. It's simply that. You put it on and you never ever take it off. Occasionally you rotate the stock a little, but
you rinse it out by the pool.
I tell you, I'll jump in the pool with it on, hang it out, dry it out. I put a little shot of talcum powder down there, get an extra wearing or two out of there. It's the best. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Give the gift of mind-blowing comfort this holiday season with limited edition holiday gifts from Tommy John. Save 20% on your first order at TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off.
Yeah, all right. Sorry, Jeannie Graham. What else we got?
So remember a while back, there was this big controversy with Pharrell and Robin Thicke about the Blurred Line song, and Marvin Gaye's estate was getting involved.
Yeah.
Well,
they lost.
That finally got resolved. I mean, this has been going on forever. Mm-hmm. Finally got the bottom line in that long-running plagiarism lawsuit. Pharrell and Robin Thicke will have to pay $5 million to the estate of Marvin Gaye. Yeah. In the suit, which was first filed way back in 2013, the Gay family charged that Thicke and Williams, quote unquote, borrowed quite a bit from the hit Got to Give It Up. There have been a lot of twists and turns, but a California judge put an end to that with a ruling giving the Gay estate $5 million in past royalties plus several million dollars in interest that would have been earned by that money. Thicke, by the way, is responsible for most of the payment since he's listed as an artist as well as a co-writer. The Gay family will also get half of all future royalties from the song.
I don't know. My feeling is if the father shoots the son and guns him down in his own living room, you shouldn't get the proceeds of the songs that the sons wrote going to the family.
Mm. Well, I don't imagine much of his kids, right?
I don't know.
You think it went to the dad who shot his gun down his
throat? Oh, it went right up his nose.
Oh, my God. That's injustice.
He's eating cake with his hands right now. And doing booger sugar as we speak.
Thank you, Pharrell. Nom, nom, nom.
He's 111 years old.
You just want the kids to be triply victimized?
Yes.
Okay.
Who knows? Could be all part of an elaborate ruse.
No.
Google that shit, man.
Yeah.
It'll be the most Googled story of 2019. Max Zapata, Marvin Gaye. We have to figure out who's left.
He for sure was married at one point.
He was shot and killed by his dad. His dad went to prison for a very short period of time, or just went for a, or maybe didn't go to prison. His dad was like this preacher who was also a cross-dresser, so he had a kind of interesting past.
Complicated guy.
But no one understood him like his woman. Keep going back to songs. Yeah, we should figure out kids and how old they are. And then why can't my dad write a song? Go ahead.
Footnote, the reason I know he was married at one point, that one of my favorite rock and roll subcultures, Dawson, you might know a little about this, is artists fulfilling contracts with just crap shit albums because they have to, you know, fill a contract. Yes. They have to pay. In Marvin Gaye's case, he had to pay off his wife. And he had an album called something like Here, My Dear. And it was basically him kind of mumbling into a microphone. Like, it wasn't amongst his most celebrated works. Like, it was to pay because his wife, you know, was entitled to half of his, you know, contract that he had signed when they were married, and so he had to fulfill. You can look it up. I think it was called something like Here, My Dear.
That's funny.
It was like for her, and it was just kind of like mumbling into a microphone.
Yeah, it's called Here, My Dear.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah,
I didn't know if that was that. I thought it was something
it's
like
good.
That.
Yeah. We'll see if we can find some of that. There's on the same note, and an interesting note. Graham Parker, a million years ago, was with Mercury Records and hated his deal and did whatever always happens. He ended up signing everything away and they fuck you up and everything else. And he had one more song left on his contract with Mercury, the record label. And the song was called Mercury Poisoning. And it was a good rock song, okay. But it was called Mercury Poisoning. And it was a song about how they'd fucked him. It's weird. So it's been going on.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that. At the time, Marvin Gaye's death survived by three kids. Mm-hmm. They don't deserve it. Okay.
Come on.
Parents and five siblings. Oh, so there's a lot of gays running around out there. Too many.
Lousy with gays.
Dad had 6 years suspended sentence, 5 years probation. Yeah, I don't. His dad just gunned Marvin Gaye down.
Wow, was it criminal insanity or was that his plea?
What's going on?
Oh,
that's
look at
my
that.
Joke. I love that. Anytime an old guy has a young guy and can say he felt in fear or threatened by him or something, it's going to be hard.
Sure.
He's like, I feared for my life.
Right. No witnesses, I'm sure.
Right.
Jesus.
So there you go. Now you got to find the song Mercury Poisoning by Graham Parker from 1979 or something like that. All right. Let me tell you. Let me tell you about LifeLock. Holiday shopping. Oh, yeah. You're online. You're doing your shopping online. I got some safety tips for you. Make sure the site's URL starts with HTTPS instead of just HTTP and has a locked padlock icon to the left of the URL. Let's play it safe. Otherwise, it could be a bootleg and you could get hacked into. Don't share your social security number, birthdays, or any of that stuff with folks because all ways to get in and hack your identity. Why are you looking for deals online this holiday season? Cyber criminals might be looking for your personal info. Again, criminals, lazy. They would love to rip you off from their bathrobe and slippers inside their mom's apartment. And this is how they do it. They steal your identity. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection has the power of Norton Security. Help protect against threats to your identity and devices, right, Dawson?
Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor your transactions at all businesses. But no matter the season, LifeLock with Norton Security is the right place to help look out for threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for an extra 15% off your first year. That's promo code Adam for an extra 15% off at LifeLock.com.
All right. You got it? Here it is.
It's on his greatest hits, too.
Company's crippling
the
me.
Worst trying to do in the best.
Not nuance.
Maybe they think I'm a pet. Well, I got all the
right, she's got it. Where is Mercury? Are they around? They're not around anymore, are they?
I don't think so.
They were a huge label back in the day. All right, there you go, Mercury Poison.
I like that song.
It is funny in the pantheon of, you got one more song left on your contract to fulfill. Yeah.
It's fatal.
Can't go any other way.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Well, speaking of music, Adam Levine and Maroon 5 are just having a lot of trouble right now. They can't find anyone to join them on stage for the Super Bowl halftime show. Not even Cardi B, who collaborated on one of their songs. A source says, quote, "She's going back and forth, but it's a no right now." The band is having trouble recruiting guests because of the lingering NFL controversy surrounding Colin Kaepernick.
It's weird that the Super Bowl halftime show will be sort of an extension of winning the championship and going to the White House.
Mm.
That's obviously a no-fly zone for the NBA and NFL and other leagues.
Most of the Patriots.
Right. So it's going to be that.
Right.
And then it's going to spill into the actual Super Bowl. Eventually, we'll get to the preseason. It'll be awesome, and everything will just be ruined by everything all the time. I blame Sesame Street.
The tide is turning.
So the question now is, does Maroon 5 stay in?
I know it's indicative of music today, but how sad is it? They're like, we can't get anyone to perform with us. It's like, you're a fucking band. You've performed ostensibly by yourselves for years.
Also, is the plan just keep going until nobody hosts the Academy Awards and nobody plays the halftime show of the fucking Super Bowl? Can we just watch something and just fucking enjoy it and put the politics and whatever aside and just fucking tap your foot and get on with it and then watch, you know, eat some fucking hot wings that Kimmel cooks up and drink a few IPAs and call it a fucking day? Does everything have to permeate everything?
Well, and then by all means, get back to fighting after that.
Yeah, let's just watch football and let whoever the best bands are play. It's not an endorsement of Trump or the league or anything else. It's just you're playing, you're entertaining the masses. You're getting out, put a black armband on and get the fuck out there and start shaking your fucking moneymaker. But again, whether it's a trip to the White House, halftime of the Super Bowl, or Sesame Street, it's all up. Or the Academy Awards, it's all up for grabs now. We're not going to fucking rest until everything's been polluted and corrupted, until there's some stink put on everything. Just fucking have the Academy Awards and have the Super Bowl, for the love of fuck.
Maybe Kevin Hart should do a tight 10 at the Super Bowl.
Oh, I would watch that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, speaking of the White House, Fox News reports that Trump has canceled the White House holiday party for the media.
Oh,
who saw that coming? The annual Christmas season gathering was a significant perk for
those. Oh, he made a big mistake in pardoning the turkey. He should have fucking walked out there with a fucking .44 and went, "I pardon you, a gobbler," and just pulled it out and just put a slug in his head and then went, "Any questions?
That's good.
Anybody have any questions? Jim Acosta, any questions? Are we cool? Okay.
Follow-up questions, Jim?"
That's right.
I shouldn't know this, but I think the turkeys this year were mac and cheese.
In case
you were wondering. I don't know why, but I think that was their names.
He should have not pardoned them.
That would have
been
hilarious.
It would have been so, on brand.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing.
And then everyone, everyone loves turkey? You're eating turkey? I know you can't sit home and judge me, sitting home eating a turkey leg and judging me right now.
Yeah.
Give me a break. How many Americans had a turkey sandwich for lunch today? Fuck you.
His base would love it.
Yeah. They'd love it. Yeah.
So at its peak, this invitation-only party grew so large that there were actually two, one for broadcast outlets, one for print organizations. Journalists who attended the events, it features these buffets with lamb chops and crab claws and elaborate desserts, and they got to roam around the house with a spouse or a guest and take a picture and chat for a minute with the president and first lady in front of the Christmas tree. The president and first lady did this last year.
I've been to the White House. Have you been? Have you been?
I've not been.
Not been.
Never once.
No.
Not at all.
I haven't had the opportunity.
Gina?
No, never.
Not to the White House?
No, I don't think so, no.
You've never been?
Uh-uh.
Never?
No, I haven't had the chance.
Not to the White House?
Not the White House, no.
You've never been?
No, never been.
Wow, Brian?
Well, now, hold on. Let me think. No.
Never?
No.
Not at all?
The White House?
Yeah, the White House.
I haven't been. No.
Not at all?
No, never once.
Hmm.
No.
Not at all.
I'd like to.
Never been.
But I haven't.
Hmm. Never.
Pennsylvania Avenue?
Wow. Okay. So not at all. Not at all. Interesting. Yeah. I've been.
Oh, really?
Oh,
uh-huh. To the White House.
I'm shocked.
To the White House.
You've been.
For sure.
Before.
I was there.
In person.
Count me in. I was there. Now, some people may remember this, but I would give anyone $10,000 if they could just randomly pick the band. I toured, happened to be there touring with. I was there for the WHF Festival, which is in D.C.
Real big fish.
Good.
Was it?
But no cigar.
Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Mm. No. Nope.
Squirrel Nut Zippers.
No, they were definitely playing. I mean, it was definitely one of the bands that was there playing the WHF Festival. At
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
RFK, nope.
Roll Call
Review. That was RFK Stadium, no.
The New Romantics.
Probably 97 or 8.
Let's
or
go bowling.
Like
6.
Save Ferris.
Some 41.
Harvey Danger.
All noble guesses.
Marcy Playground.
Marcy Playground. Duck and Cheek.
Sneaker Pimps.
I can go deep on my 91 and Wonders. Come on, man.
You ready?
Sneaker Pimps. Who did Mass Star?
No.
Bare Naked Ladies.
No, although that would have been a thrill for me. I love that band. You ready?
Yeah.
Wow.
The Afghan Whigs.
Damn, wow. Greg Dully?
The Afghan Greg fucking
Dully's
Wigs.
Own?
Yes. I didn't even know what their hit was. What was their...
I only know them for being part of the Backbeat band from the movie Backbeat. Greg Dully was one of the vocalists.
The Afghan Whigs covered Mercury Poisoning in 1996.
What is their most popular song?
I don't know. They must have had some kind of. They must have been played on like K-Rock and something. And
that's random.
By far their most popular song, Algiers.
I took a tour of the White House, and it was like, come after the Saturday after the show, and come Sunday, and me and producer Ann were there, and it's like, oh, who are these guys? They're the Afghan Whigs. Like, they're okay. Going to take a tour, too.
The top of this song is a blatant ripoff of the Alan Parsons Project, Don't Answer Me. Play the beginning of this.
Now you sound
this.
Like Glenn.
I know, I'm sorry. You guys had this conversation at dinner last night.
Yeah, it was brunch, but yeah, I get you. I don't remember this song.
Makes me miss the 90s.
I have to imagine the hook's coming up. I don't know the song either.
I'm one of these people, though. If I don't know it by now, I don't know it. What song would K-Rock have played by the Afghan Whigs?
This is the most popular song of theirs on Spotify by far.
This wouldn't have been the one K-Rock. K-Rock must have played an Afghan Whigs song. We'll find it.
Hold on, listen to this really quick.
All right, hold on a second. All right, it's not this song.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Sort of, but I was there when I would know it if K-Rock spun that song. Let's see if we can play what it was. You want to play this? It's very controversial. And then... could the Parsons estate sue the Whig estate
for no.
$5 million?
Well, you tell me.
Wow.
It's got a kind of
they're different songs, but it's the same instrumentation, and they got the vibra slap in there.
It's got to Be My Baby kind of thing.
It's got to Be My Baby. Yeah. Start. Yeah.
Here's the other one.
So the Ronettes could sue Parsons. Oh, that's the beginning of this. The same thing, but put Rag Doll by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. You want to hear the beginning of this song, hear the beginning of Rag Doll by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
I don't remember how it starts, so.
Fucking love this song, by the way. She's a little Rag Doll.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. What is the Afghan Whig song that would have got played in the late 90s or mid 90s by K-Rock?
It's also very And Then He Kissed Me.
Yes, And Then He Kissed Me. Yes, it absolutely is.
Like some of their hits, their other singles, Debonair, What Jail Is Like, Honky's Ladder.
I'm sure they were on Loveline at some point.
Were they part of a big movie soundtrack at the time?
I don't know. They were big enough to be summoned to D.C. to play a stadium with a bunch of other big bands. It doesn't mean they didn't go on at noon.
Right, right.
But they definitely there. Made the flight. I don't know where they're out of. And they definitely got to go on the White House tour with me and producer Ann.
Here's Be My Baby.
Yep. Alan Parsons, look out. Brian's filing on behalf of the Ronettes.
Will you please find And Then He Kissed Me?
It's not the same.
It's not?
I just listened to it.
Oh, I thought that's how it started. All right. He walked up to me.
Bring it home.
Oh, hold on. Everyone wait a minute. Right. A lot of things going on. A lot of
plates spinning.
All right, go ahead.
All right, I'm Gina Grad. That's the news.
It's okay, Bobby. My dad's in prison, too.
Gina
That was the news with Gina Grad.
This is everything I have to turn into a goddamn bummer fest. Christ. Hey, I'll put myself in a better mood with Geico. You want to save some money on your auto insurance? How about you go with Geico.com? You can just go to Geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. Be the most rewarding thing you do all day at Geico. Geico.com. Spend about 15 minutes. See if you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance at Geico. That is Geico.com. Brian, do you have something?
No.
Okay.
The Andy Kiss Me thing is similar, but it's not that. Those are all in the same vein.
Mm.
And I'm seeing.
I believe Brian, but Gina, you still have to go home and find it.
Okay, I will.
Because you have that kind of life.
Thank you.
Which and is not a life at all.
Oh, God.
Yes.
In 1994, the Afghan Whig song Gentleman was in rotation.
That was a K-Rock song?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can hear that song and see if it sounds familiar to Brian or myself from back in the day. I will tell you quickly about Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Simply Safe, ridiculously easy to use. No hidden fees, no pricey contracts. And get yours at simplysafe.com/Adam. Do you have it, Brian?
I have the Andy Kiss Me. Similar, but it's not the dun, yeah. dun.
All right.
Hell of a song.
Afghan Whigs.
This is Gentleman.
Okay. 94 would have been the year I started showing up to K-Rock for free. Sounds good, but doesn't sound very familiar.
Mm-hmm. It's not even in the top 10 on Spotify. I mean, it may have gotten rotations, just not one of the top.
Number 75 on K-Rock's top songs of 94.
Huh.
I really feel like there's a song we're totally missing that we would all recognize from this band. Like it was on a movie soundtrack, like Gina brought up.
Well, the sadder part is probably right now the members of the Afghan Whigs are sitting around going, I took a tour with Adam Carolla. What? That guy's doing a pod card out in Burbank now or something? What's that guy up to? Just cupping Kimmel's nutsack when he washes the dishes? Or what the hell's that Carolla dude up to?
I think he works on cars.
He did the bro show in the 90s or something, right? Something.
They broke up in 2001 and then got back together 2011, and they're still going strong.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. That's who I toured the White House with, the Afghan Whigs, everybody. You can go to... Can we get a ticket count at Flappers, by the way, Maxipata?
Yeah, I have it.
Oh, okay. We need to sell some more tickets?
Yeah.
Okay, well then go to Flappers this Tuesday, December 18th, and see me up on stage with Adam Ray, everybody. A bunch of ping pong balls doing Adam Carolla's Unprepared. Or what do we call it? Freeballing it?
It's good.
We call it Adam Carolla's Unprepared /Freeballing it.
Balls out.
That's good.
Balls out. Irvine Improv, January 24th, up there with David Zucker doing basic cable commentary from Airplane, and we'll tell you more about that coming up. Go to Chassis and check that out. Check out Fantasy BS, the podcast with my two boys, Bald Brian and Sonny Carolla over there, Podcast One. Chris Rubio and Chris Saylor, and you can check them out on their website, ChrisSaylorKicking.com and RubioLongSnapping.com. Vinny Tortorich, of course. You can always find him at Pure Coffee Club and PureVitaminClub.com as well. Two great products. Also, you can see the video of me of Rubio and Saylor on our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I'm going to be doing some long snapping for these guys. Thanks for the great week. Good sports coming up next. Get yourself a little Corolla Racing merch at CorollaRacing.com. Until next time, Adam Carolla, Gina Grad, Bald Brian Saint. Mahalo. Fuck you, Sesame Street.
Stick around for today's episode of Good Sports. Adam Carolla and Dave Damashek coming right up.
Hi, I'm Greg the Drunk Elf here to give you a few tips on how to get through the holidays, but first, a little about me. I used to work in the North Pole, but was terminated by that fat f*** for what Elf Resources called excessive consumption of peppermint schnapps on the manufacturing line. Also sexual harassment. That jolly f*** didn't even have the balls to fire me like a man. He had his lover Craig fire me. That's right, kids. Santa's been cheating on the missus with Craig. Anyways, all this is beside the point because regardless of why I was terminated, my tenure at Santa's slave operation did give me a few insights into how to get through the holidays. Number one, tell your kids to stop writing Santa Claus. He's not reading the letters. He's doing lines off them with Craig. And number two, head to Corolla Drinks to get the deal of a lifetime on some of the best booze that have ever touched the lips of this elf named Greg. For only $99, you can get a six-pack of Mangria Plus, a signed holiday card by the Ace Man himself. A true Christmas miracle of a deal. Hurry! The deal only lasts a week. Mahalo, motherfuckers.
Head to CorollaDrinks.com and use promo code ELF to get this offer for only $99.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sport.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, another football weekend upon us now with just about a full focus now on NFL pro football action. But the Final Four in college football still on the way. While all that is coming together for us, so too is the Christmas holiday. Ace, I'm curious. We always talk about your childhood versus mine. What is your favorite toy? Well, did you ever have a really good toy?
Yeah, I got, I had a train set. The train set was kind of interesting. I don't know why I'm just sort of picturing this. I loved cars, and I loved the notion of slot cars. But slot cars, they had, back in the day, these horrible plastic little hooks, and the way
they picture exactly what you're talking
about. The way
they
went together is you put them side by side and then you move them laterally and click them in. And they also had these little metal, sort of metal brushes that had to make contact in order to continue the circle of power, because the slot cars had a motor in them, but they had no power source, so they were powered by the track. And inevitably,
it was like a trolley car or whatever in San Francisco, where the thing has to have I don't know anything about
No, the trolley car is not powered itself. It has a motor. It'd be like if you had a Prius and the Prius was always plugged into an extension cord.
Right, yeah.
And it wouldn't run without the extension cord. There was no charging. Till later on, they came out with Sizzlers, I think. Hot Wheels Sizzlers, I think they call them. But anyway, you'd fill them up and run them. Now, the slot car was the ultimate in fun for a young Ace man, because it was cars and it was a remote control and it was racing your buddies, and it was interesting in that if you couldn't just jam on the power.
I was just going to say, there was some skill to it back
then.
There
was some skill to it, and it was cool. And I don't even know if you remember this, and Gary will find you pictures, but there were places not unlike bowling alleys that were like slot car tracks back in the day.
I don't remember that.
50s and the 60s, and you'd come walking in, and it had that like bowling alley smell, sort of a weird linoleum meets shoe cleaner or something, like the weird sort of aesthetic smell. And you'd sit down, and you could buy parts, and they had a big track set up.
That is awesome. I completely missed this.
You could like race other people. They'd have events, and you'd go, oh, what division do you want to run, in the stock division or the modified division? And they'd have like guys at the corner, and if you got off track, they'd fix your car and put it back on. There's a place called Circle T out here, and they had, now these are the bigger slot cars. These are the ones that are 5-7 inches long and 4 inches wide. And like these are a little bigger, bulkier, whatever. But they had sort of communal slot car places, like higher end slot car places. I mean, you look at these pictures like from the 50s and the 60s, like guys like standing around racing slot cars. Now, you know, the thing that's crazy about that, like as you think about yourself as a kid, if there was the king of the slot car world, like, hey, over there, like when you're 11. That's Dave Vendick. Yeah, that guy's the king of this place. He's 28.
Yeah.
This guy, man, lives and breathes large-scale slot cars. This guy's dusted off everybody. He's even come close. And if you would have got the 11-year-old Adam Carolla going, would you like to trade places with the guy, by the way, lived at home and never got laid? I'd be like, oh, to be the king of this place? Indeed. Right now. And for but you got to be... This will be it forever. Oh, done it. Where do I sign, Mr. Beelzebub? It's so insane how you would have thought back then, right?
Oh, yeah. The all guy right. who was awesome at Space Invader, same right. thing. Oh, asteroids.
He's got it made. Yeah. I'd switch places with him
genius.
In a second. So the slot car was the set, but what would happen, and I realized the winners, the slot car set back in the day, not only did it have the interlocking, they all had the interlocking thing. But what would inevitably happen is the little wire that needed to touch and create the circle of life would get a little tweaked or
That's
something.
All.
And you'd try to put them together, and these little plastic tabs, which were no more than 3/16 of an inch wide, would invariably and almost immediately just bust off. They're just it's designed to fail. There's no way you could put this track together and then take it apart more than twice without busting all the tabs. So what would happen is the tab would be busted off, and now the thing would not be held together, and the wires would not be connected, so you wouldn't have this continuous loop of power. So you'd have to kind of push it together, put a piece of duct tape on it or something, whatever. Because as I realize, home slot car sets were only made for little boys whose dads love them. And the
How
reason
so?
I say that is this. My dad did not love me. $27 or $18 worth of fucking plastic from Chicago, from China does not mean your dad loves you. Putting it together once and once only, not wasn't meant to go together and pop apart and go back together and pop apart. And your dad buying a piece of 4x8 plywood, putting it out in the garage, taking the little pinhole that was an inch back from each end of all the track and putting a little nail in it and putting it up on a bridge and securing it to a big piece of plywood that had like some fake grass on it and some fake trees stuck to it. That meant your dad loved you. And that also meant you never would take it apart and put it back. When your dad didn't love you, you get the slot car set. You'd set it up like on the floor of the living room. You'd put it together. At some point, somebody would come in and go, hey, get this mess out of here. And then you go, I'm playing with my slot car. And they go, well, put it away, and then you can take it back next weekend. We're not going to have it laying around the floor all week. And then you'd try to take it apart. The tabs would bust off, and you
or
were
Or your chimp
you were
of
done.
A friend Ray would come over. That would have to – I can't imagine that would go
Somebody would
well.
Kick it. Or someone inevitably would walk by it and try to, like, step through the infield of
yep.
it and step on it, and you'd hear the crunch, and it was – heartbreaking.
You that is absolutely right. You have just conjured so many memories for me. And my poppy, now you're making me nostalgic. He did exactly what you say. We went to the store, and we got a giant thing of a plywood, a 6x8, a big 6x8, and we did all the trains into it, and we nailed it all
it's
down.
4x8, but go ahead.
Is that what it was? 4x8?
It would have been 4x8.
Oh, okay. I was trying to do the math in my head, like dimensions.
Plywood would only come in 4x8, but go ahead.
But anyway, yeah.
And we
got that green turf to wrap around it. And, that was wonderful.
I knew your dad loved you. I knew it.
It was my grandfather. It was my grandfather that taught me to drive a nail and all that stuff. Yeah. Those are the two sides of Damashek, the steelworking side and the cosmopolitan side. Somehow I turned out to be a zero. I had both worlds combined. I should have been a great, great man. Instead, I turned out to be zero. They canceled each other out.
Your grandpappy.
Yeah. He was a steelworking man. Yeah.
Took you, bought the sheet of plywood, did all the fake trees and the fake grass.
We did it all. It was some setup. And I can't believe I've never thought to tell you that or to show you photos of this. I got to get some for you. He made with his own hands, he made wooden houses of all manner to put all over the place. You would go gaga. You guys would have loved each other.
I will tell you the saddest thing. Like I can talk about food stamps and living in a flop house with my mom, everything, or I can just tell you this. A sheet, a 4x8, 3/4 ply, exterior CDX, good one side, would have been one sheet from one home improvement store, would have been a lofty goal for the Corollas. Like, it would have been, first off, out of the question. You may have real said, like, I'd like to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Like, I want a sheet of plywood. It would have been, that's $18. How are we going to get it back? What are we going to do with it when we get with it? Not even a discussable moment.
Like, yeah, just throwing up roadblocks why it can't happen.
A single sheet of 3/4 ply would have been considered like me saying, I'd like to purchase a dirigible and fly it to school tomorrow. They would have the exact same chance of those two things happening. A sad testimonial when it comes to the Corollas. But you don't have to be sad. You've got ESPN, my friend. College football playoffs semifinal set Saturday, December 29th. Oh, this is going to be good. Two back-to-back games, Clemson, Notre Dame. The Goodyear, well, the Goodyear blimp. Cotton Bowl, the classic. 4 p.m. Eastern. Then Alabama and Oklahoma at the Capital One Orange Bowl. 8 p.m. Eastern. Clemson, Notre Dame last faced off a few years ago, 2015. And Clemson won that one. Alabama, surprising, facing off with Oklahoma for the first time since 2014. Oklahoma's beaten them last three straight. I don't know if that's
that is a crazy. Yeah, that is actually a crazy measure given the Nick Saban era.
The winners of the Orange and Cotton Bowl will face off then on the national championship game, and that'll be presented by AT&T, and that'll be on Monday, January 7th, only on ESPN.
Very nice, Ace. A good week of hot sports talk. You know, my poppy, Poppy Zubasic, Mike Zubasic, a great steelworking man, salt of the earth, you would have loved him. He built by himself the house that Mo Damashek grew up in. Built a house in Aliquippa, PA. Again, did this happen?
Wait, you're from Irvine, aren't you?
No. I thought did we not talk about this at the start of the week?
Gary said he was from.
No, I said I'm from Pittsburgh, Western Pennsylvania area, and he's from Orange County.
Sound off, would you please?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll try to bring it up more often. All right, great week, like I say. We'll be back with more hot sports talk.
Oh, wait, you're Belinda, right?
No, like I say, Pittsburgh, Steel Town. The Iron City. I love that. I talk about the Steelers a lot. Like right now, I'm wearing a Pittsburgh Pirates hat.
All right, well, that steel's going to rust over there by the Pacific.
Oh, all right, let's pick this up next week. I'll try
agree to disagree.
I'll try to color it in a little. Maybe I am from Orange County after all. I don't know. Anyway, good stuff. Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports out. Good Sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts. And the special events like the one at Flappers on Tuesday night with Adam Carolla and Adam Ray. Go to adamcarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.